Welcome to this latest episode of 98% Pure Potato, the podcast. This is John Griffiths speaking. Although in this sequence, I'm going to be talking about the next book I'm writing, which is about writing brand screenplays, it seemed as part of the ground clearing exercise to talk a little bit more about brands and how we analyze them, how we develop them and grow them. Because it's a far more organic process than an analytical one. And I know that firsthand because when I got involved with my own band, I discovered as a brand owner and manager that it felt very different from the inside and that the various elements I was working with were not abstractions at all, but real objects and artifacts and things like that. And so I started to think very differently about what it was like to develop a brand from when I'd been working purely in advertising agencies. So just to unpack this a bit, I want to use this podcast to share some ideas about how I think branding has changed in recent years, and it's a much more organic process. The image I tend to use for this is the difference between the Tintin rocket and the USS Enterprise. The Tintin rocket is sharp and pointy because it needs to go up through the atmosphere and then travel through space. But if you have a spaceship like the Enterprise, which never goes through atmosphere and lands on a planet, it doesn't need to be sharp and pointy. And to me, that difference in brands is that when brands were first used by marketers as an idea, they wanted to promote just a handful of aspects. So you would argue as to what they were. You basically made your brand as pointy as possible so that it would travel without too much resistance to the largest number of people. If what you're doing is maintaining a brand with a whole range of groups of people so that the ideas within it become sufficient and keep going, then you don't have the same atmosphere to push through all the time, and so therefore the focus is much more on the different bits that you stick on to the brand which become part of the associations to do with it. So it's a more cultural understanding of brands than something which is, I call it sharp and pointy, but a handful of qualities which you emphasize over and over again, often using advertising. Just a couple of reference points for this. John Grant, in his book Altered Image, talks about brand molecules. And so the idea he's talking about here is how you clump various ideas together. It's not that there are certain ideas which go and other ones which don't, but that you can bring all sorts of ideas together. But I think, for me, the best model of this that I've come across, which I found really helpful, you will find in chapter 4 of Adam Morgan's book, The Pirate Inside. It's an odd chapter because it doesn't really fit the rest of the book, but I think it's worth the cover price alone just for chapter 4, although the rest of the book is very good. And it's basically a cultural model of brands, and the examples that he gives in the chapter as a kind of quiz are for a country and for a book. I won't say any more than that because otherwise it's a plot spoiler. But by asking these questions about the country and about the book, it becomes very obvious which country Adam Morgan is talking about and which book and the characters in that book that Adam Morgan is also talking about. And the point he makes is that there wasn't a marketing plan to develop this book, the characters within it, or for that matter, for those country characteristics to come together. It was something which happened organically because of culture or because of the particular author who had a very rich imagination and brought this very original world of characters and storylines together. And the point that Adam Morgan's making is if you use a cultural model of developing brands, you end up with something far, far more diverse. Now, he calls it the rat map. And I've used this in a number of workshops. It's a really interesting one to use because it's a way of laying out what I call a brand country. Let me kind of explain the different components within it. In the bottom half, it's a series of concentric, it's actually a spiral, but it's a series of concentric labels which relates primarily to the employees, those who are inside that company or feel internal to it rather than external customers buying from it. And so it starts in the center with our point of view, our understanding as to what's important for this company. It then moves out to what they call citizen characteristics and border controls, who's allowed to join and who is not. If you've been into an Apple store and you see whatever uniform the Apple employees are in, it always makes them distinctive. It always makes them seem kind of cool and a little bit clever and detached from things. That's an example of a citizen characteristic where one can tell who the staff are versus other people. And it might go as far as a uniform, or it might simply be a way of talking, a way of operating. Moving out from that, we have the language and the iconography of the staff. Iconography in terms of the kind of metaphors they'd use. And if I go back to Apple and Microsoft, if I talked about directories, you'd know I was in the country of Microsoft. If I talked about folders, you'd know I was in the world of Apple. And that's an example where language and images can define a very separate space and make something different. And you can either find these accidentally because they've just grown up in a culture, or you can intentionally create language and iconography which makes this brand seem distinct. Then we have internal artifacts. What are the objects? What are the rituals? What are the things which binds them together as a group of people and gives them a shared purpose? And these will almost certainly be embedded in particular objects, or could be a building, an office building, or a way an office is laid out. And then the outer circle, this concentric spiral here, is what is called manifestations in folklore, which is something I've done quite a lot with doing brand workshops, is finding out stories from the employees, because you always hear stories about what represents good behavior and bad behavior, and these stories become seeds traveling through the culture to explain what the brand is about as far as employees are concerned. So that's the internal half of this culture map. On the external side, there are the beliefs, the brand vision, there is the brand mission. But then moving out from there, rather than it being something which is written down as a kind of war plan, what we're looking at is the kind of habits and rituals around using or buying a product, and what whether those become generic to if you're buying a particular product in a particular category, or if they become very specific to buying from a particular brand. I'm sorry to be mentioning Apple quite so much, but I do remember getting completely fixated on buying an iPod, I think it was, and finding the packaging so intriguing that I don't think I even just took pictures of it. I actually filmed what I was doing. And it was only when I mentioned this to someone, they laughed and said, oh yes, that's called Apple porn. And it turns out there's a whole genre of people unwrapping their Apple products because they're enjoying the experience of unwrapping the new product because of the experience of the packaging. But that's an example of habits and rituals. Moving out from that, the sensory cues that that product has for the customer, and the what makes it enjoyable, what makes you anticipate using it, what makes the memory of using it so pleasant. And it moves out from the sensory cues to the experience of using it. It might be the experience of talking to other users about their experiences of using it. And then right on the outside, it's communications. In other words, not simply people's experiences as customers of using it, but the way people talk about it, either to people who haven't had that brand experience, or for people who are quite interested in getting it, in other words, prospective customers, and you're using communications to tell them what it would be like if they were to buy this brand or to use it. So that's where communications has its role. But if I go out through these concentric layers of the spiral, communications is right there on the outside. It's driven by all of these things coming from the inside. And if you are used in communications to always starting with communications, that's almost certainly wrong. For there to be integrity, what you need to do is to start from the center and to work out to understand really what the anthropology of this particular brand is about and how to develop it and how to make it richer. I think when you start to look at a brand from a cultural point of view, as a kind of country, I think it takes on a very different feel. And I remember taking a management team of gastropubs through this idea of the brand country, and we spent a good 2 or 3 hours defining what the employees were like, what the iconography was like, what the language was like, what the rituals of the customers were. And as we went into it, we found that there were things which made what they wanted to do distinctive and what they actually did distinctive from what other pubs were doing. What I found interesting was that when I then went to do a subsequent workshop with them a number of years later, the proprietor, who subsequently sold his chain for an awful lot of money, told me that he had taken the summary of the brand country, put it on the single sheet of paper, and tucked it in his back pocket. And whenever he visited one of his pubs, or even when he was visiting a new site to decide whether to acquire it, he always checked with that sheet of paper to see, was this part of the Brand Country or not? Was it, did it fit within it? Or was it in some way foreign or hostile to what he was trying to build? I take that as an example because we are going to go on to look at screenplays. But unless you understand that brands are more molecular than a sort of DNA formula, which is quite limited to three or four elements, you're going to struggle with how far I'm going to be taking the idea of brands through storylines, because storylines are a whole other reality. But I don't want to neglect the idea that on occasion, I do talk about brands as countries, and I find that a really helpful way to develop them because it really broadens the way you can think about them. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that for this week. If you've got any comments or questions, do get in touch with me. I hope you're enjoying the series. I'm actually quite enjoying talking about these areas because although I've done this over and over again in workshops over the years, this is the first chance I've had to kind of sit down and unpack it and say, well, how do I put this across to people in a way that would help other practitioners to get on and do this themselves? Anyway, that's for me this week, and speak soon.